This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. VPR's coverage of the 2018 campaign continues today with a debate between the two major party candidates for Secretary of State. Four-term incumbent Democrat Jim Condos is being challenged by Republican Brooke Page. The Secretary of State is Vermont's chief elections officer, and the office also oversees dozens of professions, including accountants, auctioneers, barbers, land surveyors, physical therapists, and tattooists. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Bob.
Here's the format we'll be using for all our debates this year. In the first segment, I'll ask common questions of both of you. In the second segment, you'll have an opportunity to ask each other questions with a brief follow-up question. Then we'll turn to a series of additional questions for the candidates. And if we have time, we'll have a lightning round of questions with very brief answers. And we'll conclude our program today with one-minute closing statements from each candidate. So let's get right to the questions. Please limit your answers to 60 seconds, and I may ask a follow-up question as well. Let's start with early voting. Brooke Page, Vermont has the most lenient early voting system in the country. People can cast their ballot anytime within 45 days of an election. Do you support this law? Is it good for democracy?
Well, I really don't think there's any new law involved. It's really just evolved out of absentee balloting and absentee voting, where overseas folks that were going to be away, and also the military voters needed extra time to properly get the voting materials to them and get them back. I think that this is just kind of a promotional technique where early voting is just another expression of absentee voting. And I really don't think it's a good idea to be promoting it. I don't think it was anything really new that was done. But I think by promoting all of this early voting and, voting way in advance of the election, even a couple weeks in advance, the voters are really being encouraged to go to the ballot box uninformed. This debate is a perfect example of that, that we've been encouraging people 30 days before now to even get out and vote. And it just seems improper to be encouraging people not to be fully informed before they vote.
Well, let's say somebody is informed and they know who they want to vote for. They're going to vote maybe 35-40 days early. What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying they shouldn't be permitted to do so. I just don't think encouraging it is necessarily a great idea.
Jim Condos, Brooke Page says promoting it, encouraging it might not be a good idea. You might have some uninformed voters. What do you say?
I say it's up to the voters, and I think it's a voter access question, and it's important to allow the voters to be able to respond and actually cast their ballot. This is a constitutionally protected item, casting a ballot, and it's up to the voters to let them give them the options and the convenience of being able to vote. They may not be able to vote on Election Day. I also am a supporter of creating a National Election Day holiday, and I think that's a good idea as well. But to give you an example of how it's affected us, in 2014, we had about 33,000 votes cast early. That was the last midterm. In this midterm, we've already had 44,000, almost 45,000 requests, and we're almost at the 33,000 just for the actual votes received back. It's really an access to the voting booth item.
So how do you respond to those people who say the state's making it too easy to vote?
We should be making it easy to vote. This is a constitutional right. This is something that people should have. We have to have accurate rolls. We have to keep things in line. But it's important that we make sure that people have the ability to cast the ballot.
Jim Condos, some states have what's known as a citizens initiative process. If a proposal gets enough petitions statewide, it's placed on the ballot for all voters to make a decision about. Some states like California use it quite a bit. In Vermont, allowing this process to happen, I believe, would require a constitutional amendment. So, number one, am I right about that? And number two, would you support this approach to governance?
I think you are right about that. I don't know the specifics, but I believe you are. But I think it's You know, if you talk to the folks that are in California and other places that have initiative voting, they struggle with it. It's something that it can change like the wind to change a subject, a topic, whether it be taxes or something else. And I think you need to be cautious about it. In a sense, we do have initiative voting when it comes to constitutional amendments. So the voters do have the ability to, and it's part of the process that the voter does have the ability to cast a ballot.
Wouldn't the citizen initiative process, though, give citizens and voters a greater voice in the democratic process?
The current process that we have is outlined in our Constitution, and that is where to make that change would be significant. I mean, it's something that the legislature could look at. There have been bills introduced in the last 10 or 15 years, but it's never gone anywhere.
Brooke Page, what are your thoughts about the citizen initiative process?
Well, I think that it's important to have greater input from the citizens. The last time we had an initiative, if memory serves me correctly, would have been in the late 30s or early 40s when the governor, the legislature had passed permission to build the Green Mountain Parkway. And the governor, whose name doesn't dawn on me who was the governor at the time, but the governor said he did not want to sign it without there being a referendum put before the people. And in fact, there was, and it was voted down. And so we don't have the Green Mountain Parkway. Instead, we're shaving off all the top of our mountaintops and putting windmills up there, which was the exact reason they didn't want to have the parkway, was to leave the Green Mountain National Park unmolested. We do have initiatives as it goes to constitutional amendments. It's somewhat complicated process where the begins in a four-year process where the Senate first advances a proposal and the House approves it, and then it's laid over for the next biennium when both the Senate and the House have to approve it by a majority, and then it goes for a referendum before the people.
As you said, the constitutional amendment process is pretty complicated, can take 5-6 years. Do you think that the idea – there is legislation and has been introduced previously to have a citizens' initiative process in Vermont. Would you support that?
As long as it was somewhat stayed, okay, that it, you know, wouldn't come up immediately and immediately be voted on. Maybe if like our constitutional amendments, there was a process of laying the question over for a bit so cooler heads could prevail over excitement of the moment.
Brooke Page, you've said that you want to make major changes to the way that political parties in Vermont select their candidates. Right now, it's done by holding a primary election, and people can decide which party's primary they want to vote in. You want to eliminate the primary election process altogether, have the candidates chosen at a party caucus. So what do you say to those people who see your plan as kind of a throwback to the old days of politics where people would gather in a smoke-filled room and decide who the candidate should be?
I think that what we do now is little more than what I've called the prancing pony show, that the parties don't really want to have any contested elections. They want to have one candidate for each position on the ballot. We currently have the ability for any person to decide that they're going to run for any party. I, as a lifelong Republican, ran in 14 and 16 as for governor and attorney general as a Democrat, and there was no bar from me doing that, nor should there have been. Additionally, this time out, I've run for 6 offices as a Republican and oddly enough succeeded in winning all 6 offices. But I think what we really need to do is get away from the open primaries to either a closed primary where we wouldn't save any cash, or more importantly, to go to a caucus-based system where the parties would be responsible for selecting their candidates, their chosen ones for the general election. And then the parties would report to the Secretary of State's office through nomination by committee process who the slate of candidates were, just as the Republicans did for the most part this time. It would save us over $300,000 in an off-year election, and I'm told about $400,000 in a presidential year election.
So when you talk about a closed primary, are you talking about party registration in Vermont?
That's exactly correct, and I think that that's something that disturbs a lot of people that, you know, I know Jim, when we were doing the Channel 17 debate, brought this up. And I pointed out that we do have that currently for the presidential primary, where you have to ask for a specific ballot, and whatever your choice is recorded on the voter rolls and is available for the public or for the media to observe.
Jim Condos, if the main purpose of a primary election is for the political parties to select their candidates for the general election, is Vermont's current primary system a good one, or should it be changed?
Well, I think that's really up to the legislature to make that decision, but let me just be very clear about this. First, the only time that you actually have to decide which party ballot you want is the presidential. So once every 4 years, that's recorded. As far as the general election primary, which is in August, you are given three ballots, and you pick one and the other two get discarded. Yes, there's a cost to that, but there's also would be a cost in personnel if you look at it from the standpoint of voter access. If you went to a closed primary or even to a caucus, far less people would be making the decisions of who are going to be voted on in November. The one thing we get a lot of questions about and concerns from people is the idea of party registration. People do not, in Vermont, do not want party registration.
And why is that? And what are your feelings about it?
I think first of all, I think a lot of Vermont is fairly independent. And I think that they would be excluded from a party caucus or a party closed primary point of view here, point of election. So I think that first of all, that starts to exclude people. And I think it's, we're trying to encourage more people to vote, not try to restrict people from voting.
Let's expand this question out a little bit further. In California these days, there really isn't a party primary election. The top two candidates in each statewide race meet in the general election. It's possible for these two candidates to come from the same political party, particularly if there are a lot of candidates running. What do you think of that approach, Jim Condos?
Well, that's called a jungle primary. And I don't think that would be accepted here, but I don't know that for a fact. I do think it makes it certainly easier because we'd have one ballot. It would be a very long ballot, but we'd have one ballot, whereas right now for a primary we have three ballots, and in essence our office is running three separate elections.
Brooke Page?
I think the jungle primary really evolved out of concerns by Arnold Schwarzenegger that he might not get the Republican nod back a number of years ago. I think it's a problem when we have all of the crossing over that we have in our current system, that Democrats can go on and grab the primary ballot for the Republicans, as they have done every election season since 2002 until this time, and they even did it this time, and write in all of the published Democratic candidates on the Republican primary ballot. I know in our debate a couple of weeks ago, Jim was bragging, I got 1,800 Republicans wrote my name in on the Republican primary ballot, and I had to kind of retort back, well, I think almost all of them were actually Democrats who happened to just grab the Republican ballot. And I think it just – we lose the propriety of what's going on when we have the open primary process. And I really think that a caucus system, not necessarily what we see in Iowa where everybody's running around in an auditorium someplace, is a good idea, but a system that's developed by each party, how they're going to select their champions for the general election.
Brooke Page, Vermont is one of two states in the country that still has a two-year term for governor and other statewide office holders, New Hampshire being the other state. Right. Would you support a proposed constitutional amendment that would extend the term to 4 years?
I've seen a lot of chat about that, okay? And the interesting thing is here in Vermont, there's a lot of talk about going to four-year terms for the governor. There's also talk about having the governor and lieutenant governor run together on one ticket. Certain other statewide offices other than the House members would also be on four-year terms. And I don't think it's all that great an idea, especially given that nobody talks about incorporating term limits in with that. So now you're just going to have these people 4 years after 4 years. what we have now, the two-year system, is a little bit inconvenient for the politicians, I'll grant you that, and the office holders. But it gives the people the opportunity to voice their concern. You know, if a politician or an office holder is doing a good job, we'll send them right on back, no problem at all. But if they're kind of mischievous or doing things that are inappropriate, we only have to live with their mistakes for a year or so until we can get them out of office.
Jim Condos, what are your thoughts about a four-year term?
Well, I always go back, you know, when you talk about term limits, I always go back to what my former colleague, Senator Bill Doyle, used to say. We do have term limits. They're called elections. So from that standpoint, I believe that the voters will make those decisions. I do think that going to a four-year term for the governor and the other statewides, as well as perhaps the Senate and maybe the House as well, but that's up to them to decide. I think it's important because from the statewide perspective, when we operate our agencies, we're operating on a two-year cycle, and it's sometimes difficult to get things accomplished in a two-year cycle. It's important that we have the time to plan, to do the proper business analysis before we move forward with different perceptions or different ideas that we have. To allow us the time to get the legislative changes made that we need, as well as to actually do the project.
This is the VPR Secretary of State's debate on Vermont Edition. Joining us today are the two major party candidates for this office, Republican Brooke Page and Democrat Jim Condos. The candidates will now have an opportunity to ask each other questions. Questions need to be 30 seconds. These are questions, not speeches. Responses are limited to 60 seconds. And a brief follow-up question will be allowed if a candidate wants to ask it. So let's start off with Brooke Page. What's your first question for Jim Condos?
Well, I guess my first question is the most important question on my mind here. And that's Jim in recent weeks has been talking about how well they've done as far as signing people up to vote. The number I think he's quoted is that 92.5% of all eligible voters have been able to vote. And I think he's not been fair enough with himself, because I think actually what we'll find out is more people have actually signed up to vote than are qualified to vote.
There's no evidence of what Mr. Page just said, and I would just say that we have a very robust system that's now in place. We actually added it in 2015, and that system is a state-of-the-art voter registration database. And really, it goes down to the town clerks. The town clerks are hardworking. They do tremendous amount of work. They are very proud of their voter checklists and the work that they do around elections. And it's the town clerks that actually add and delete people to the voter checklist. We're just the facilitator. We move the information to them.
So, Brooke Page, could you clarify for us when you say some people aren't qualified, what you mean by that?
Well, we have to take a look at how many people should be on the voter rolls. And we can determine this fairly easily. We know that the census tells us that 623,000 and an odd number of people are how many people are in the state. If we subtract from that all the folks that are under 18 years of age, and that's about 116,000, and also take out any non-resident adults, folks that are holding green cards and visas, which is about another 10,000, we come up with 407,790 people. Mr. Condos has already reported that he's signed up 481,111.
Jim Condos?
I think Brooke's numbers are wrong. Just as his age is 0 to 18, just look at what we have for our school age population right now. So his number is very inflated on that. We estimate that it's somewhere between around 520,000 are actually eligible to be on the ballot or to be on the voter checklist. And we currently have about 482,000.
Jim Kondos, what is your first question for Brooke Page?
If I may.
He
did mention my name, so I'm supposed to get it. And it's important. He brought up the issue of the under 18. And the under 18 I have comes from the U.S. Census. And because I had a question of it as well, I went and my backup for that, actually, the Vermont Department of Health says that it's not 116,000, it's 118,000.
Okay. Jim Kondos, you have your first question for Brooke Page.
It's actually following along the same lines. I've been very outspoken about protecting voting rights and actually expanding the voter the right to vote. And I'm proud of the work that my office has done working in conjunction with the legislature and with the governors, both Republican and Democrat. So we've actually put in place things like early and no-excuse absentee voting for extended out to 45 days, 17-year-olds voting in primaries if they'll turn 18 by the general election, automatic voter registration, now up to 12 states with it coming up with 36, hopefully in the next couple of years, same-day voter registration, and eligible college students being able to register and vote in Vermont. Do you support the expansion of voting rights? And if not, how can you justify denying or suppressing any eligible Vermont voter's constitutional right to a ballot?
We get to the dog whistle, voter suppression. Okay, Jim has this big thing about voter ID and, oh, we can't have voter ID because somebody someplace, some unknown, unidentified person might not be able to go and vote. And it's all foolishness. I think when these numbers that I've just chatted with you about are actually published, it will become quite obvious that not only is everybody who should be allowed to vote being registered to vote, that a lot of people, or a lot of names at least, are being registered who shouldn't be on the voter rolls at all. I mean, we're not talking a handful of people here. We're talking 70,000 people that are on the voter rolls that exceed the entire population of Vermonters who are eligible to vote. I mean, I'm all in favor of making absolutely sure everyone that is qualified to vote has the opportunity to vote. The biggest problem, the biggest thing as far as voter suppression, as far as I'm concerned, is that because we have this loose as a goose election process, that a lot of people have become discouraged from voting and no longer vote.
Would you like a follow-up question?
I would just say that in response to the true voter fraud issue, true voter fraud is denying any eligible Vermonter the right to cast a ballot. That's a constitutionally protected right. We should have a process in place that allows anybody and everybody who is eligible to be able to cast that ballot.
Brooke Page, what is your second question for Jim Kondos?
Oh, my goodness. Jim has talked in an interview I saw the other day on the Times Argus. He talked about having an ombudsman for access to public records and things like that, which is another aspect of the Secretary of State's office. And I just found it interesting that he would do so when, in fact, he has done everything he could do to try to prevent the use by concerned citizens of the Title 17 2458 process for the administrative complaint process as it relates to elections. And it just seems to be a real dichotomy where, well, we want to do everything we can possibly here, but don't try to complain about the operation or the propriety of the election through the Secretary of State's office.
I'm not sure I understand what Brooke is asking here because, frankly, the 2458 statute that he's citing has nothing to do with public records access. In fact, Brooke should know that when he actually filed a complaint in the last couple of years, we actually responded to that complaint. And I'm not sure why he even brings that part up. As far as the ombudsman, I have run my office and I've run for office by promoting government transparency, government accountability. I believe strongly that the public has a right to know, the public has a right to participate, and the public has a right to attend. So for open meeting laws and public records access, the public should have access, and this is one way to make it less intimidating for the public.
The correlation between the two in my mind was that the Secretary's office would act to facilitate either access to the records or to complain about the propriety or the operation of the election without having to go to court. That's the common thread. Just like the ombudsman's office would prevent people from having to file suit in superior court. Likewise, the 2458, the administrative complaint process, was implemented by Deb Markowitz to do the exact same thing, to give you an access for resolving your issue without having to go to court.
Jim Kundos, time for a second question for Brooke Page.
So I would like to ask you, Brooke, about I'm very proud of a program we have at our office called Safe at Home. It provides address confidentiality for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And I'm curious to know what you think of this program and how it is working, because I know I believe women, and I was very concerned about some of your Facebook messages that you had posted about Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and the Kavanaugh hearings, and I wonder how you could set that aside and operate this program.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think the Safe at Home program, which was implemented under Deb Markowitz, was a very good program for folks that don't know what's going on here. It allows folks, women specifically, I guess, or for the most part, who have been harassed or, you know, whatever, to gain a degree of anonymity while still having folks that want to communicate with them communicate through the Secretary of State's office through a lockbox system. As far as the Kavanaugh, Ms. Ford issue, posted on Facebook, and I post a lot on Facebook, was not going to the question of whether or not she believed what she was saying, but whether she was confused as to who 35 years later had actually done what ill was done to her. And it was just it seemed like there was a lot of political motivation behind all of this, obviously, that she didn't pursue all of this until suddenly he's up for a Supreme Court nomination.
Well, first of all, I'd say I believe Christine Ford, but also what he had done, and it was an elaborate joke that he had put on his Facebook page, which talked about date rape and body cams, and it was really unacceptable to have something like that out in the public domain.
I don't know where date rape came into anything. I do remember posting a thing that I think I said that Ron Popeil, the master online or television marketing, was offering a body cam to ensure folks that were involved in a date on both sides would have a visual record that could be used. And yes, it was a piece of political humor, no doubt, but it was not specific. You know, I mean, Ms. Ford, I'm sure, had something terrible happen to her. And 35 years later, maybe it would be good for folks that have been dating to have some sort of permanent record of their activity so it doesn't fall back on them.
Brooke Page, what is another question for Jim Kundos?
Oh, let's see. We have two. I guess I'll go with the college vote. Jim's talked a whole lot about, we have to let all the college kids vote, and there was a Supreme Court case. And have you ever read the case? Because I have, and I find out it doesn't say what you say, that we don't have to let every single college kid who shows up here on Friday register to vote on Monday and be involved in our voting process.
That's it? That's your question?
Well, why not?
So – the Supreme Court case was back, I think, in 78 or 79, and actually what it did was it affirmed a lower court decision, and it said that college students have a right to decide whether they wanted to register home where they live with their parents or at school where they live the majority of the year, and it was up to them. They can't vote in both places, but they can register in either place. And that's something that has been going on since the 70s, and I think that it makes a lot of sense to allow college students to be able to access the vote. They still have to meet the time-tested questions, the three questions. Are you a U.S. citizen? Are you a Vermont resident? And are you 18 or over?
Well, the case was actually about the registrar in a town, I think it was in Mississippi, predominantly black town that also had a predominantly black college in that town. And the tax collector and the voter registrar had a questionnaire that he was handing out to all the college kids to make sure they qualified to vote. And the problem, the Supreme Court said, was not with the questionnaire. It was the even application of making sure that all voters, both the college kids and the resident town voters, had to have the same standard applied to them, had to have the same questionnaire, answer the same questions, and then have their answers evenly applied. And that was what it was really about.
Brooke just made my case, I think, with his answer. So, but you know, it really is a system that allows, you know, if someone were working here at IBM or now Global Foundries, and they come in from New York State and they're going to be here for 18 months, that doesn't mean we deny them the right to vote. They get to register to vote here in Vermont if this is where they are living at the time, and that's what this is about. It's about equal, as Brooke just said, it's about equal opportunity and equal access.
If I may, because he mentioned my name, the only thing I wanted to point out is that the part of the case that I found most interesting was it allowed the state and allowed the town to have qualifications to be a voter, including, say, 90-day residency or things of that nature, as long as they were evenly applied.
Would you like to respond?
He's already made my case for me.
So, Jim Condos, what's your third question for Brooke Page?
So I'm very proud of the work that as Vermont's chief elections officer that I have – that my team and I have done and completed. When I first took office the first general election was 2012, we were ranked 38th in the nation by the coveted MIT Elections Performance Index. And this year, for the 2016 election, because of the work that we have done, the new state-of-the-art system that we've put in place, Vermont was ranked number one. We are the best in the nation for running our elections and providing access to the ballot box. EPI is widely considered one of the most respected. You've been critical of me, but you haven't offered up any details. On what basis? What would you do as Secretary of State to improve our elections process?
Well, I think the most important thing we have going for us is we still have a paper trail, paper ballots, to fall back on. Many of these states where they have electronic voting and your little push pads and all of this carrying on, you know, really kind of takes the propriety of the election and puts it in jeopardy or in question. I think the biggest problem that I have is that we have so many bells and whistles going on, early voting, you know, last minute voting, last minute registration. And I think that a lot of people are losing confidence in the propriety of the election. Mr. Condos has yet to answer how he can have 70,000 more people registered to vote than the statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau tells us we should be having vote.
I would only say that what I said before, I dispute what his numbers are and go from there.
They're not my numbers, the U.S. Census Bureau's numbers and the Immigration and Naturalization Service numbers.
This is the VPR Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. With us today, the two major party candidates for the position, incumbent Democrat Jim Condos and Republican Brooke Page. Time now for some questions from Vermonters and some additional issues that we can cover. We got this question from Marvin, quote, several strategies have been used by the political right wing across the country to block people likely to vote against the Republican Party. So what's your opinion of the following procedures? And the two of you touched on this a little bit earlier when you discussed voter suppression. So Marvin wants to know, photo ID needed to cast a vote, is that a good idea? Should felons be allowed to vote? And purging voter rolls for people who have minor discrepancies in the documentation. Jim Condos, let's take this one at a time. Photo ID needed to cast a vote?
I don't think it's necessary.
Why not?
First of all, we're talking about a constitutional right, and we have the system in place. We actually capture the driver's license number or the last four digits of the social, so we know who those people are. If you do file over by mail, then you do have to provide some kind of ID at the time that you are before you're fully active on the voter rolls. But it's not necessary. It really has been proven nationally that voter ID, photo ID, is a voter suppression method that actually impacts greatly young adults, low-income folks, minorities, and senior citizens. My own mother is 90 years old now. We had a need to get a photo ID for her, and it took a while to get that photo ID for her. And it had for some other stuff that we had to do after my father had passed away. It was a problem. Senior citizens don't have photo IDs. Young adults may not have photo IDs.
And am I right that felons are allowed to vote in Vermont?
Yeah.
Felons are. We're one of two states, us and Maine, that allow felons and incarcerated individuals to vote.
So, Brooke Page, let's go back to that photo ID question. What do you think?
Well, I'm a big advocate for voter ID, and which would include a photo, maybe some sort of biometric measurements, like thumbprint is what I'm really thinking about, and have sufficient information on the face of the document so that when you go to the polls, the people can look at the document and instantly recognize that you are the voter. I'm not talking about making any process that's so difficult that people have legitimate voters have a hard time getting an ID, that if they're lacking some of the necessary documentation, then an affidavit from folks that know them well, town clerk or whoever, would be sufficient substitute. I'm not looking to bar people from voting. I'm looking to prevent people from voting more than one time or, in some other scheme that might be defrauding the legitimate voters of their franchise.
Do you think that Vermont has a voter fraud problem, Brooke?
I think that we have a perceived voter fraud problem. And I've mentioned this before. Randy Brock, when he was auditor of accounts, had this concern and did a fairly extensive study. And what he found was, I think, about 7 or 8% of those folks that were on the voter roll should not have been there. They were dead. They moved away, whatever. But in reality, that only a tiny fraction of those people actually – voted their franchise. But the perception that I get out when I'm talking to people is a lot of people believe that and I would say that number is probably around 10 or 15% believe that there's substantial voter fraud. And in fact, I think many people that I've talked to have decided to disengage from the voting process they talk about voter suppression, have decided to disengage from the process because of the perception. And Jim hasn't done anything to allay those fears.
Well, first of all, let me just quickly say that the study that he had referenced that Randy Brock supposedly did was done on the old system, which was around 2006 system. And that system was eliminated as of late 2015, when we put our new system in, which is more state-of-the-art, is cleaned up, it's accurate. The automatic voter registration system costs us less money, and it also makes our system much more accurate with much more integrity. The last point I want to make on this is that in the last presidential election, we had 68% participation out of our voter rolls. We have a hard enough time getting people to vote once, never mind twice.
Brooke Page, in Montpelier in November, there's a ballot item that would allow non-citizens to vote in a local election. Do you support the concept of allowing a non-citizen to participate in their local democratic process?
I think to the extent that the questions that are being asked are only operational as to the township or the community, that maybe we should be open to consideration. But if there's any balloting or voting for individuals that will serve on the town council, as select board members, as members, as individuals, even as far as justice of the peace and any office above that, that it should not be allowed, that we should allow only citizens of the state of Vermont to vote for people that are going to serve the towns, communities, and state.
So why is that? I mean, many of these folks are paying taxes now. They're active in their communities. Why can't they vote?
Because they're not citizens. I mean, citizenship should have some rights as long as well as responsibilities involved. Certainly, we have all the responsibilities. But to say that, oh, these people who have not either bothered to go through the process of becoming citizens or for some reason are barred from becoming citizens should suddenly be involved in the activities of governance within their towns or county or state just seems improper.
Jim Condos, what are your thoughts?
Well, if you go back in history, prior to, I believe it was around 1920, non-citizens were allowed to vote. But let's be clear. This initiative that has been proposed by Montpelier is not for any of the federal or state elections. It's only for local elections, local ballot questions. And anything that is passed by the town will have to go through review by the legislature and then be signed into law by the governor. So this has got a long road in front of it, and they'll be able to put the restrictions in place as necessary. We haven't even seen a bill, so we don't even know what it is they're proposing except to allow non-citizens to vote. But you bring up the point, Bob, and I think that it's important to remember. They're working in our communities. Their kids are in our schools. They're paying taxes. Should they have a say?
Let's go to a very quick lightning round, very quick answers. Could be yes or no, or maybe 5 or 10 seconds. Do you think 16-year-olds should be allowed to vote in Vermont, Brooke Page?
No.
Jim Condos?
Possibly.
Under what circumstances?
I haven't actually thought it out yet, but I think that there's a school of thought out there now that that 16-year-olds are much more in tune with what's going on around them. If you look at the things that happened with Parkland, the Parkland shooting, they are very knowledgeable.
Jim Condos, should corporations be allowed to make contributions to political candidates in Vermont?
Ultimately, I would like to see us, the state of Vermont, follow the same process that the federal government does, which bans corporate contributions. And I think one last thing on that is that it does require the concern I have is that it may be an influx of PAC money coming in then.
Brooke Page?
Corporations, no. I don't think they should be able to. I think that they should also be limited as far as making contributions to PACs in other ways. I think that in the end, the citizens should be the ones making decisions to vote, and the citizens should be the ones providing whatever financing is necessary for those candidates to run.
Time now for a closing statement from each candidate. We determined the order using a coin flip yesterday. Jim Condos, start us off.
Thank you. I've had a long career in both business and now in the government side. I started out in business working for a Fortune 100 company, for a family-owned $30 million Vermont-based company, and as well as a regulated utility. And then I've had 18 years on the South Burlington City Council, 8 years in the State Senate, and now 8 years as Secretary of State. I have the experience to continue moving forward and making our office the best office that we can. If you look at my history, customer service has been key. I focus on customer service, and I also focus on accountability and government efficiency. And we are considered one of the best agencies in the state of Vermont.
Brooke Page, time for your closing statement.
Yes, sir. I'm a newcomer to Vermont. I've only lived here for 31 years. Most of my neighbors still refer to me as the Flatlander. For most of my time here in Vermont, I commuted down to Philadelphia and worked there, where I ran my own multimillion-dollar business, leaving my poor wife at home all week to fend for herself. Since I've retired and come to Vermont, I've gotten involved in politics a little bit more, and I really think that it's time for a little new blood and some new ideas. We're really going down a path, not only at the Secretary of State's office, but larger in the legislature, that's driving people out of Vermont. This whole thing with the elections being so lopsided has driven a lot of people to move away, in addition to the issues with taxes. And I really think it's time that we get our house in order and do things a lot simpler and easier and in ways that are really more accommodating.
Well, this concludes the VPR Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. Many thanks to our candidates for joining us today. Brooke Page, the Republican candidate, and Jim Condos, the Democratic candidate. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.